Welcome to the second in a series of three special summer podcasts from Asset Finance Connect, sponsored by Alpha. My name is Richard O'Donoghue, and over the past few months, I've had the opportunity to chat with many guests about the outlook for the European asset finance industry in 2025 and beyond. In our last summer special, we talked about AI, and this week we're going to talk about captives. This is a topic I enjoy chatting about, having spent most of my career working in captives. I was particularly interested in exploring if they're more or less relevant today, particularly at a time when their costs are rising. Klaus Strenge and Kurthu Alpas of Zeb Consulting shared their insights with me in April. Rising costs have resulted in some captives exiting the market, so I first asked Klaus if there are things that captives can do to manage their cost base more effectively.
Yes, you can leverage some topics which are offered by the OEM anyhow, so infrastructure. You also could think more about outsourcing some non-crucial topics to even a third party. So to focus on the core competences of the OEM, of the sales organization and the captive behind it. And also, we have interesting models in smaller countries where it may not be worth setting up an own finance company to enter joint venture model with a finance company or to have a white label solution in these countries. So to find a good partner who could run the businesses and you have the topic regarding the client and also the product offer and use a third party for the other topics, which are not so crucial from the OEM and from the sales organization.
Another hot topic for many captives is funding, and Kurthu outlined some of the options that captives should consider.
Yes, I would like to clarify a few things about funding. So, of course, funding is quite tricky right now with the current fluctuating economic environment and interest rates. We think that when it comes to funding, diversification is key. So if a captive has a banking license, then they can also take some customer deposits. But of course, it comes with additional regulatory burden. So not everybody can do that. Sometimes issuing your own bonds would be a good idea. But over the years, even recent times, we've seen significant change in the funding costs depending on the timing of the bond issuance. These are just a few thoughts that captives should also have when they think about the funding elements. And sometimes, of course, the manufacturer does the funding for the captive. But yeah, there's a lot to think about when it comes to funding.
Frequently during my discussion with Klaus and Kurthu was the role of partnerships. Rather than trying to do everything internally, should captives partner with other finance providers? In our first podcast back in March, I asked Mathilde St. Paul of Econocom if partnerships opportunities existed.
I think we have many complementarities because we captives usually have the support and the strength of the brand and of the big machine which is behind them. And we have the agility and the responsiveness that they need. We have the ability to manage the end-to-end process. And we are very, I would say, acute commercially because we are very present in our accounts. And we also bring the sales force that the captives need just to develop and to be present everywhere. So I think companies like Econocom are very commercial. I mentioned the entrepreneurial spirit, but we are a commercial company. And the strength of our sales force is very important. People are trained, people are able to discuss and to present any kind of offers with a very broad expertise. So I think this is where we are at a moment where captives and independent company can really develop some common values where we can get the best of the two. And again, I think captives, as you mentioned, have created some banks in a very regulated environment. This is something that we have never done and we don't want to do in companies like Econocom because we want to keep our liberty. We want to keep our ability to create, to innovate. I think creativity and innovation is also really something very strong in what we do. And this is why we are so successful with our customers. And I think this is where those companies can join and we can find a way with captives. And again, we discuss currently with captives to develop some specific offers for some very big brands just to give them the way to address their business differently through our sales force. You pile up powers and strengths. So I think it will be very powerful and successful to our customers.
This topic also came up when I chatted with Bengayi Kumbula of Innovant in April. Bengayi joined me to talk about opportunities in Africa and the Middle East. Before getting down to business, however, I had an apology to make.
But I'm going to start with a confession and an apology, because you and I first met probably 20 years ago when I was in Cisco. And I remember you came in to pitch Innovant to us in Joburg. And frankly, I've never said this to you, so this is a revelation, but we kind of looked and said, oh, these guys are new. You know, do we want to take the risk? Will they even be around in a couple of years' time? Right. So 20 years later, my judgment was clearly wrong. And firstly, I apologize. But secondly, maybe talk to us about yourself, number one. But number two, why did you sort of feel back in, you know, 2003, 2004, I need to go and set up a company called Innovant? What drove you to do that?
Thank you, Richard. And I'm glad that you finally confessed, because I too haven't recovered from you giving us a no. I'm not used to receiving no's in my life. I'm quite persistent. But I would love to tell you that, by the way, we have now finally signed with Cisco in UAE as a financing partner. So thank you for that.
Having got that off my chest, we then explored the opportunities that exist in Africa and the Middle East. I was particularly interested in why Innovant, which has historically operated in South Africa and its neighboring countries, had decided to move into the Middle East.
So as we developed in South Africa, we've become, and I don't want to sound arrogant about this, but we've become almost like the reference point for international OEMs looking for partnerships for operating lease, where they've got great service level in Europe. They've got great service in the Americas. But this block called Africa, Middle East, they have not been able to find suitable partners. So we signed up with several OEMs in the past that we worked with, Lenovo Financial Services being one, HP Financial Services being one, on the African continent. We are the exclusive white label financing partner. And humbly so, because of the work we did for them and they were so impressed, they then gave us a challenge and say, look, we have coverage everywhere else. You guys have been able to do something special for us in Africa. We've got the same challenges in Middle East, and Middle East being GCC, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Qatar, Oman. Are you guys able to do something similar? And because of our DNA, our build, Richard, as I said, we started this business from scratch. That's what we do for a living. We are quick, we are entrepreneurial, and we like challenges. We took those challenges up. We said, right, we are going to go to Dubai. So in January 2024, we opened our offices in Dubai, offering the full suite of services, a true operating lease FMV offering with our brands, Innovant. We are running Lenovo Financial Services over there. We are running HP Financial Services over there. We've recently signed a relationship with Cisco now. So we are growing in less than 15 months of setup.
As we heard, both Bengayi and Mathilde mentioned the word partnership numerous times in those excerpts. However, both Innovant and Econocom are established players in asset finance, so they're obvious partners for captives. However, are we seeing new players entering the market that could partner with captives, or indeed with other asset finance providers? Here's Ian Robertson from Invigors.
What you see with the alternative solution providers is, you know, a hunt for yield and a hunt for not small niches, but sizable, scalable niches. And that's one of them. The party that you referenced there was Santander. You know, we've actually already managed to find a party that had been seeking for somebody such as them. And, you know, they've already made that connection. We'll see whether that comes to fruition in terms of funding in due course. But, you know, there's lots of large and emerging niches that are not very well serviced by the current traditional asset finance industry. And that can be because technology's new, there are new risks in what the ask is. We see a lot of opportunity that's underserviced, and again, for, you know, sensible reasons, particularly around transition assets. And it's not just a technology topic, it's also a financial solution topic. The areas of that lend themselves well to kind of project finance, you know, different underwriting criteria and different risks. And again, there's appetite, again, if the scale is material enough, for some of these parties.
Ian's reference to Santander is interesting, as they've set up a fund targeting sale and leaseback transactions. These transactions aren't necessarily an area that captives like, but are often required when looking at large-scale transformation projects. This is an example of an area where a partnership between a captive and an alternative asset manager could lead to interesting solutions that benefit both parties. We had a great panel discussion on captives at the European Leaders Summit in Amsterdam in May. One of the panelists was Chantal Vonken from Cisco, and she sat down with me after the discussion to explain the importance of people in building a partnership between captives and finance providers.
I mentioned indeed people because that's what we have experienced. We're working with funding partners, and especially one large one has dedicated resources for us. And what you really see is that if you have a really good person, which is really capable to balance, you know, how to work their own company, so the vendor finance company, but also really tries to understand and get integrated within Cisco in this case, yeah, then you really can have a hugely successful business together. I think one of the risks what we have experienced in the past is that if those people then move on, and nobody has really thought about succession or it's difficult to find new people in the market, effectively that whole business can break down.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, the people are so crucial. Also, that like the way how they work within their own company, with their credit and legal, etc., really trying to pave the way for us and Cisco's business, but then also how well they integrate within the Cisco team and also with the partners. I think, yeah, that's really key. But on the other side, that's also a huge vulnerability.
It was great to hear Chantal mention this, and it was reiterated by everyone on the panel that day. So if you're looking to build a partnership with companies such as Cisco, make sure you get the right people involved. So hopefully you enjoyed those brief snippets on captives, and look out for the third in our series of summer podcasts where we'll discuss sustainability. Don't forget that all of our podcasts are available in full on all major platforms. You can also find links on the Asset Finance Connect website and on the Alpha website.